If you got your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 26. I want to close out. And Jerry actually didn't know I was going to preach this today. And he said it right when he introduced me. Thank you for, giving God glory on everything. And I want to talk today about a very simple statement. And it's this. You can write it down as a title. It's okay to brag on God. It's okay to brag on God. You see, when you brag on God, some people think it's arrogance and cockiness, when it's actually assurance and confidence. It's amazing to me if we put people up tonight on this platform that were born again, and they came and said, I've never been saved, and I got saved at the Believers' Convention, and I just want to give God glory. The place just erupts in great, great joy. Or if we bring someone that was once in a wheelchair, and they walk up there and said, I was healed last night, and God just, and people just erupt and just, have wonderful times. But if we brought someone up there and say, bless God, the Lord made me so stinking rich, I just don't know doing that kind of money. I got so much money, I don't know do it myself. Most people go, I wonder why he talking like that. He don't know be talking like that. Why can't you give God glory on the financial side that you did on the healing side? Or that you did on the salvation side? It's the same God. And it's okay to brag on God. And I like what Muhammad Ali used to say, it ain't bragging if you can do it. And let's face it, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. He can do it. He can do it. You see what I'm saying? So it's not bragging, it's just a fact. So a lot of times people have criticized me. I used to never say nothing about the blessings of God in my life. You wouldn't have known, I wouldn't say a word. Until the Lord one time said, are you embarrassed of me? And I said, excuse me? He said, are you embarrassed of me? I said, no, Lord. He said, then why don't you tell people how I've blessed you in a financial area? That's good. And I went, well, they would think it's arrogance and cockiness. He said, why do you worry about what they think? They're not going to be standing there when I judge you. So I begin to say things which is not my character. And now I'm full blown in it. Oh, Lord, I just, man. And I live in a beautiful home. People say, that's a big house. I said, yeah. I said, look what God hath done. I do it publicly on television. And some people, they don't like that. And I don't really care. And I don't mean that rudely because, I realized that I was, I didn't want people to know that. Not because I thought they would stop giving in my ministry, but I thought, well, they won't understand it. And I had one of the most wonderful compliments when I was on TBN with Andrew Womack. He said, Jesse, I read one. He pulls out a clipping from my magazine. He cut it out. He said, man, you convicted me. I said, how did I convict you, Andrew? He said, I wouldn't tell anybody nothing neither, but, the financial blessings of my life. And he said, I was wrong in that. And I'm going to give you scripture to prove it so you'll understand what I'm talking about, that we need to give God glory. So it's okay to brag on God. But I ask you another question. Can God brag on you? You want one? An example? Have you observed my servant Job? Let me talk to you about my boy Job. Let me talk to you about this girl named Mary. This God bragging on, buddy. It's amazing. You see, if it's the truth, it's not bragging. It's just a fact. Look what King David said. And this is one verse, but it's a very, very powerful verse. Psalms chapter 26, verse 7. He says this, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Let me read it again. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. David was a guy that, I'm telling you, he told everybody what God did spiritually, physically, or financially. He published it and he called it wondrous works. And he didn't care if people got mad about that. I bet people get mad. My God, all y'all talk about is jets. Wait, what's wrong with that? I mean, you'd like to have one. Yep. Well, sure you would. Yep. Why? I mean, years and years ago, you couldn't hardly find a Christian that had a new car. And if you did, most of them hid it in a garage, especially if there was a preacher. Isn't that sad? Of course, they'd want everybody to know how many people God healed in their church or how many people God saved, but they wouldn't say anything about the blessing of the Lord in any way, shape, or form. And not only do I say it, I publish it. Because, see, I was wrong in that. And let me read that verse again. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. So write this down. Something within us enjoys a person who appreciates things and takes time to express thanks. I know that's a long point, but let me say it again. Something within us enjoys a person who appreciates things and takes time to express thanks. One of the greatest words in any language is thank you. Yes. Just thank you. And it's such a blessing. So I appreciate what the Lord has done for me. Now money, and I said it before, money don't make you happy. It just makes you comfortable while you're miserable. It doesn't make you happy. Like I said in earlier sermons I preached here, it's a Judas. It'll leave you. It's really nothing. All it is it keeps you working in an economic world. Some people said Jesus didn't need no money. Good Lord, man. Have you read the Bible? He went on the ground 10 minutes and three rich guys looking for it. You think God gonna send his son to an economic world without no finance? Man, Jesus had a pot of gold. Do you understand? See? And old Herod killing every baby. Who do you think paid for the trip to Egypt? Sure wasn't Joseph. Sure wasn't Mary. And you wouldn't send your child to camp or someplace without giving them a few dollars to do something, right? Well, what makes you think that God would do that to Jesus? Oh, Jesus didn't have no money. Well, my God, if somebody can steal from your bag for 3 years and nobody know about it, you ain't broke. Because if Peter would have found that out, he'd have killed Judas. We just get another one with a name that starts with a J. It don't make no difference to me. Think about 3 years of stealing from a ministry. Got to have something in there. Because if it's only $2 or $3 or 2 or 3 pennies or mites, whatever you want to call it, everybody would have known about it. So people love it when people appreciate things and they say thank you. Why? Gratitude makes people smile. Write it down. Gratitude makes people smile. A word of sincere thanks is so important in relationships of all kinds. I like to say thank you. It's a blessing. And you know, and I have been taught to be polite. People don't see manners anymore. The other day I was in a mall and there was a lady, and I just grabbed the door and I went, she was shocked. She said, are you serious? I said, yes, ma'am. Now I said, yes, ma'am. And she was 19. Now I didn't have to say yes, ma'am. Well, my God, I could be a grandpa. That's not the issue. But that's not the issue. Polite works anyway. I said, let me open the door for you. We teach our children. Kathy, I have a covenant church. It's a part of my ministry. I don't pastor at all because it's just not in me. I don't counsel because I got a 3-point criteria counseling. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Now get out of here. Go on the house. You know, and I know that don't work in a church. You know that don't work. So talk to Kathy, you know, or talk to Pastor Kenny or something like that, you know. But we teach our children social graces. We got some kids that are 5, 6 years old, and they got a little girl walking, they run to the door, and they open the door. You don't see that anymore. And people appreciate those things. So gratitude makes people smile. That's why David said, I will publish. I'm going to publish all the wonderful things you've done for me. And notice how he even talked about the amount of money he was saving for the temple. Then he talked about the money that he gave to the temple. And you heard, you know, you can't talk about money. Don't let the left hand know or the right hand know. Now, you see, that's somebody that hadn't read the Bible at all. That's talking about when you give alms to the poor. In other words, you protect people's dignity. But man, David said, did you see how much money I gave God's word? Now, people would think, I'll tell you what, that's his anger. No, no, he's publishing. He's bragging on God, and he's talking of the wondrous works. And maybe the reason why some of you, or maybe some of you that are watching my television, have not been blessed because you refuse to publish. You refuse to say thank you. Yeah, but it's in the finances. Who cares about that? I had one man say, boy, that could hurt your offer. It'll hurt yours. It won't hurt mine. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. That's a fact. You see, so I've learned that gratitude makes people smile, and a word of sincere thanks is so important in relationships of all kinds. See, most people recoil when they see someone who takes everything for granted and never says thank you. We teach it. I mean, it's just such amazing. We've taught Meredith, her mother, and of course, and Kathy is her Mimi. I'm her grandfather. She'll say thank you all the time. Why? Why not? And it's such a, I've had people say, she's such a polite little girl. And, you know, sometimes we used to give her things to make her do things. Jody, I don't know if I told you this, Jody, I talked to Jody, that's my daughter, yesterday, and she said, Dad, you know what Meredith did at school or at camp? They have a camp there at the school. I mean, it's wonderful. To make a long story short, she said, the teacher said, I could give Meredith, I don't know, a piece of candy or something like that, and Meredith would go do what I said. And she said, I try to get Meredith to do this and that, and Meredith says, I have everything I need. I have everything I need. In other words, you do it. I ain't doing it. I have everything I need. She's 8 years old. Isn't that a miracle of God? And she wasn't rude. And the teacher said, well, I guess she does. She said, that don't work no more. I have everything I need. Well, you know what? Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. I have everything I need. You're looking at a preacher. How many of you seen me on television? Have you ever heard me say, won't you help me? Won't you help me? Lord Jesus, if I don't hear from you today, we're going off the air. That's a lie. You ever heard Jesus say, if you don't help me today, we can't go to Capernaum. Won't be able to see mama. But you just preached a God that can do everything. Everything. Except. There are no exceptions. He will do everything. You see what I'm saying? So what I do is, I tell people, be blessed and give, tell them what we're going to do, because I deal with vision all the time. I never deal with budgets. I have a budget because I'm a business person, but I never deal with it. I deal with my vision of what God wants me to do. No, not needs me to do. Wants me to do. See, there's a vast difference. See, and that's what people don't understand. Because when you tell God what you want, they say, that's greed. No, that's growth. That's growth. That means you're growing to the fullness. The Lord always asks you what you want. He told you, I'll supply all you need. He's not, now what you want. Right. You see what I'm saying? Why? Because he wants to be a blessing. So, yeah, but people recall when someone won't say thank you or take everything for granted. You know, Jay, when I first went to ministry, you know what a preacher told me? We were at a preacher's little convention, little thing. He said, now, Brother Jesse, you're starting out in the ministry. That's how he talked. You're starting out in the ministry. So anytime you go to dinner, make sure you don't pay for the meal, because they should pay for everything you do. And I said, I'm not doing it. I didn't do that when I worked for the devil. You think I'm going to do that working for God? And ladies and gentlemen, everywhere I go, I don't charge anybody any expense, overseas, everything. I pay everything, and I'm not bragging about that. I'm bragging on God about it. And I mean, it costs a lot. And I had one man tell me, he said, I want to meet your budget. I said, do you? I said, okay, sit down. Let me tell you my budget. He said, let's just pray by faith from now on. Because it's in the millions a month. You understand? It's a big money. And I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on God. And it's paid for. That's not the issue. But I said this the other day, and I didn't even realize how much it was. You know, because most people, when they ask you to come, they pay for your hotel, they pay for your food. And they should. I mean, my God. Wouldn't you feel funny if somebody invited you, you was invited to someone's home, and you spent the night, and during the night, they slipped the bill under the bedroom and said, look, we put this bedroom on sale for $49.99. You want to be a blessing, right? And they kind of did a calculation because I fly so much. And most people, and if I name these ministers, you know them because they major ministries in the world. I've had some of them call me and say, man, you're making us look bad. I said, what? Well, you don't ever charge. And I charge them. I said, go ahead. That's okay. They should do that. They asked you to come. That's not the issue. But why don't you do it? You know why I don't do that? Do you want to know why I don't? And it was a little over $50 million just in expenses. Not 1 year, but I'm talking about that my accounting department said, I said, you that much? Yeah. You know why I don't do it? Because David one time wanted to buy a piece of property, and a guy named Aronoff said, listen, David, I just give it to you. Now, you know, most preachers are looking for somebody to give them something, and there's not a thing wrong with that. Because there's a vast difference between being a receiver and a taker. Yeah. A receiver will be a blessing. A taker, that's a con. Right. It's a religious con. And David said, no. And watch this. I will not offer God something that doesn't cost me something. You see, when I go, if that meeting doesn't cost me something, young man, then it's not valuable to me. Now, you ain't heard too many preachers say that. And yet, in 40 years of preaching, 38 years of full-time ministry, I've never had a financial deficit. This lady wants to take a picture. Excuse me a minute. Okay. That sure beats like this. You know, yeah, tongue out when you do it. Something. That'd be a decent picture. If this meeting doesn't cost me something, then it's not a value to me. You see, you walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. Please, but I know this is just what I received in my life or in my revelation of what God wants me to do. And I've never had a financial deficit. Now, people get mad at me. Who do you think you are? And I said, well, I'm just bragging on God. He told me to go. In fact, when he told the disciples, he said, go. He said, did you lack anything? That's another scripture. You can go find that. See, but what he doesn't like is when you don't publish what he says. You don't publish what he's done for you. In the spiritual, in the physical, or the financial way. See, thanksgiving needs to be a part of our lives. Why? Because it's one of the finest words in any language. So I say that constantly all the time. That's a word that I use quite often. And I might have paid something. I said, thank you for, like, if I'm in a hotel and they took care of me or something like that, and I may have paid a fortune for that room or something like that. And I just say, thank you. And yet I get so blessed. Little Jesus, I got to watch what I say because I get it. Now, people say that's arrogant. No, I am publishing this great work of God. And that's what Creflo Dollar said. He said, Jesse, one of the most homeless men. And it's true. I mean, hey, I sleep on the floor. One time I was in Hawaii, I had a phenomenal suite, and there was a couple that came and they had a child. Well, I knew, and they had a room. This room, what's the name of that hotel? The Grand Wailea in Maui, Hawaii. If you miss the rapture, go to the Grand Wailea. That'll help you out during the tribulation. I just want to tell you if you can get there. Well, watch this, man. And they bought a regular room, and the regular rooms are wonderful. But them suites are just knock your lights out. I had a big suite, all right? I mean, it was a monster suite. It's wonderful. 2,500 square foot. Pretty nice, huh? All right, watch this, you know? And I don't mean that arrogantly. Some people freak out over that. It didn't make any difference. God blessed me. Well, when I went to pay for it, they said, oh, the owner loves you, Brother Just. I said, he does. He said he's going to take 75% off the bill. I said, I can afford it. He said, he knows you can. He just knows there's something really special about you. And he wants to be blessed. He was a Japanese man. I didn't understand a word he said. What I thought you were going to say, ah. And I just go, okay. The only thing I understood was, ah. There's a little breath on the end. So watch this. I mean, it's a blessing. Blessing. I mean, that's a blessing. That room you're looking at $5,000-$6,000 a night. Easy. Easy. Ain't that a miracle of Jesus? So watch it. So I said, hey, Kathy, would you mind? Kathy's a sweet person. I said, why don't we give that suite to this couple and we'll just take their room, which was, I guess a king size, just a regular room with a king size bed in it. Kathy said, okay, no problem. Well, mine, during that stay, she got pregnant. I said, that ain't my fault. I said, but the blessing of increase is on me. That's a true story. Now that child is what, 16 years old, 17 years old now, something like that. And you know, and I thought, what a blessing. They said, we've never had a room like that in my life. I walked up to that same place one time, and that Japanese guy, he sold it now, you know, because he said, you have been such a blessing. They had to kind of translate it for me, and they wanted to give me the top suite, $15,000 a night. 5,600 square feet with a butler 24 hours a day standing outside just in case you want something. Sometimes I just won't knock on the door. Oh, you there? Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. And I looked at him and I said, told the people, I said, thank you. What a blessing. But that's okay. I said, my Lord, we already got something. I said, y'all have done so much for us. They couldn't get over it because I felt in my spirit. You got to know when to say yes and when to say no. So me and Kathy, we didn't take that suite. They said, no, he wants. I said, I know that. I said, but let me be a blessing to him. Right. What? Yeah. What? Let me be a blessing to you. And he had a grandson in a wheelchair. And I ain't never seen a kid work a wheelchair as best as this kid could spin a wheelchair. He was little. He was about 6, 7 years old. And he'd make it get up and, you know, and he looked at me. I could understand him because he spoke English, you know. And I got to meet the whole family and the father. And the one that really loved me was the grandfather, the one that built the place. And I mean, I would play with him, boy. And I said, boy, and he just like, he said, watch this. I mean, and I said, they're Buddhist. You see, and you got to be careful. So I'm playing with the little fellow, and he likes me and all that kind of stuff. And the grandfather just does, tears start coming down his eyes. Because I knew if I bless his grandson, that would be the greatest blessing ever. And the father said, and I just played around with the kid. And I said, sir, I translate this if it's okay. Is it okay if I pray for this little guy? And, you know, because I didn't want to, you know, overstep in any way, shape, or form. And the father said, oh, would you? I said, yes, boy, I mean, and they were, and the little fella said, do it. Now he's a little Buddhist. And I prayed for him. His legs, I don't know if he had polio. I don't know how that happened. And I said, Lord, I ask you to heal this child and minister. And tears are just dropping. And I said, Father, I'm not moved by what I see, but I'm moved by what I believe. And I said, this little fella, if he can do this with this, he ain't handicapped by no means. This boy can do something. Just think what he could do if he could run. And I just touched his little legs and I prayed for him. And I said, in Jesus' name, the father and grandfather did that. I said, amen. I said, how was that? He said, that's good. Boom, he took off. Now, he didn't get out the wheelchair, but that blessed. And, oh, I tell you, he couldn't get over. And I got to thinking, I wonder how many ministers had an opportunity to be a blessing to this billionaire and never did. And I published that all over the world. That little fella, I'm telling you, it was just such a blessing. And I believe he's walking today. Amen. Why not? All you got to do is believe. You see what I'm saying? So Thanksgiving needs to be a part of your life. That's what, it's okay to brag on God. That's what David is saying, and tell of all thy wondrous works. Write this down. We should never ignore one thing God has done. Never. We shouldn't just be thankful, but we should be vocal. Let me say it again. We should never ignore one thing that God has done. We shouldn't just be thankful, but should be vocal. So I'm vocal in that. Even if I'm in a restaurant, Jay, or whatever, or if God blesses me. Well, Wall Street went up today, didn't it, Jay? Did you see that? Glory? I thought about you today. I said, I smiled today, Jay. I made some money today. I'm like, whoo, Lord, I'm looking like that. Man, Kathy said, why do you watch that all the time? Okay, I'm going to tell you this. When I was building my house, I live in hurricane country, okay? And I'm not worried about a hurricane, but you get a lot of people around you bleed for it. Well, you know, we ain't had a big one in a while. Shut up. I hate that. So I wanted steel construction. And watch that. And I have told her, I give God glory. Because everything I've ever built in my life, and I've built some nice things, has always been under budget. Why? Because I watch over it. I got people that can do that for me. But see, they can spend my money quicker than I can. So I wanted steel construction. In fact, State Farm Insurance said, this is how a house ought to be built in the state of Louisiana, especially on the Gulf Coast or Florida. So watch this. So the contractor that was building the house, he said, Brother Jesse, we need to order the steel. I said, not yet. I had him set me up a little television. But this, maybe it's not bigger than this notepad. Why? And I'm watching, I said, CNBC, one of them, you know, and all that kind of stuff. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'll let you know when to order that steel. He said, okay. Well, you know, a week went by, week and a half. Finally, he said, if you want to stay on schedule, because they were doing a lot of, you have to do a lot of different work on the foundations. In the state of Louisiana, you get close to the Gulf Coast, you have to drive pilings and things like that. If all the dirt washed away, it wouldn't make a difference. Because you got to get that, it's called pilings. You got to make sure that foundation is solid. So they're doing all that, which takes a little time. So it costs more to build a house in the state of Louisiana. Or if you have that kind of, Irving, Texas has that same sand. And they have, and there's some places that they have to do what we do in the state of Louisiana, in the southern part. So anyway, y'all remember this is when the Olympics was in China, and China was buying ever piece of steel they could get their hands on. Because they wanted to build that bird cage. I don't know if y'all have seen that, you know. I mean, whoo! So the price of steel was $1,100 a metric ton. That's how you buy it, by the time. $1,100 a metric ton. So I'm watching, you know. And so here comes Richie. Richie says, he says, Jesse. I said, don't call me Brother Jesse, just call me Jesse. He said, Jesse, if you want to stay on schedule, because I got crews coming, you know, and they're all sitting there so they don't step over on each other, because I wanted a certain time frame and all that kind of stuff. He said, I got an order. I said, and I'm watching. I said, I'll let you know. All of a sudden, China sends a directive out that they're no longer going to be purchasing steel. That they had got enough steel and stuff to do the things that they wanted to do. Well, man, I saw the prices of steel dropping.
Come on.
And I'm sitting there going, I said, stay right there, Richie. Doom, 1,100, 1,000, 950. Come on, baby. Come on. I just, she whopped, she dropped to $450 a metric ton. I look at Richie and I said, buy now. He said, what? Call up, get him on the phone. I want a copy. Get it on your phone now. He said, well, I'll do it Monday. This is Friday afternoon. Now, do it now. And he said, yes, sir. And I bought it at $450. Watch this. 30 minutes later.
Wow.
See, because every dead thing has a bounce to it.
Right.
Even a dead cat bounces. Sell on the bounce. You understand what I'm saying? All of a sudden, they said, we made a mistake. We're going to be purchasing some more. We got to do some things. She shoots back up to $1,500 a metric ton. It was a great day. Glory to God. And I said, you just saw a miracle of God. Hey, man, I told everybody that. People said, I don't know why you ought to tell. That's a miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He should be glorified. You know how much money I spent or saved? A lot. And it brought down all the insurance rates automatically because of the structure and the strength of the house. So we should never ignore one thing God has done. We shouldn't just be thankful. We should be vocal. Publish means to make your voice heard. And that doesn't mean to whisper, but to shout about it. I told you about that money in what's the name of that? Lakeside Mall, $14,000. And wind up, I didn't tell you this when I got home. I have a hard time going in my front yard. I have a beautiful place. I got wrought iron gates around my house and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's an estate looking thing. I don't mean that privilege, giving God glory for it. Well, and I always got to go in the back. And Kathy got this thing manicured. I mean the lawns and the flowers. It's nice. Leroy Thompson's wife, Carolyn, she go, oh, Lord Jesus. Why'd y'all mix that red with that green? Well, Kathy's good at that. She just knows how to do all that stuff. Well, I said, I'm going out in the front yard. It's Christmas Eve. I'm going out in the front yard. I want to look at the flowers and all that kind of stuff. Because she has what they call it, seasonal stuff. So we always have color, you know. And, you know, and it's really nice. Make a long story short, I walk out there. Now, watch it. I had just received $14,000 cash. And I turn around and give it all away, blessing people in the mall. Because I made it a twice on seed. But if you think God was finished with me, no. So, man, I just go out and I close the door, and we have these huge doors to the front of our house. Kathy had those things designed. I mean, they're just heavy. I mean, they're huge. And they've really dressed up with millwork. You know what millwork is? I don't know. It's nice. Well, I walk out there. I guess I get about from here to where the risers start. You know, I'm walking like this. All of a sudden, man, this pickup truck comes by. And he hits his brake. And I'm thinking, my God, he's going to hit somebody. But there was nobody in front of me. He just hits his brakes, throws the door open. He goes, Merry Christmas, Brother Jesse! I don't know who this guy is. I went, hey, Merry Christmas! And he throws $5,000 over the fence.
I got $100 bills flying all over the yard. Look like a mushroom cloud. I said, I ain't telling Kathy nothing. I'm a $5,000 in $100 bills. First thing I did, I got to go tell somebody what God did. The man jumps back and he struck, have a nice day. I don't know who it is still today. I published that all over the world. Look, ain't nobody going to jump out of a truck and throw $5,000 over your fence without God doing something. So why shouldn't he get the glory of that? And I'll tell you what I did. I finally decided to tell Kathy, which didn't take, it took about 20 minutes of total conviction on my part. And I gave her the $5,000 and I don't even know where the money is. She said, I take care of it. Publish means to make your voice heard. And that doesn't mean to whisper, but to shout about it. See, you must adopt a more fearless attitude when it comes to voicing thanksgiving. It's not bragging, it's giving God glory. Now, I do some things that some preachers don't do. Sometimes I'm believing God for a figure, and I know you can do it over and above. And when I hit the figure, I say, stop! And I got people with tons of money in their hand because they know that what they give to my minister, it's going to the work of the Lord. I say, stop! We done met it. Fine. Now, most people say, well, no, take all you can. Well, that may be true because you can do so much more with it. It's not the issue. But I go, well, God tells me to do that. You know, and if he tells me to stop, I stop. If he tells me to continue, I continue. It's pretty simple because he knows I'm going to say thank you. And I'm going to do it vocally on television with the cameras on me. And there's people back at it going, this mad as until they get in trouble. Then they call me and ask me to help them. I said, I thought I was a piece of trash. I thought I was this and that. Oh, how come I'm popular now? Well, what is that? I'm bragging on God. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, well, you know, Christianity is not my thing. I'm a Muslim. I said, well, did Allah ever give you $5,000? Now, I'm not being critical here. He said, no. I said, Jesus done me many times. I said, has Allah ever given you a hundredfold on anything you've ever given? I'm not being critical here. I'm not against Muslims. I'm not against anybody. I'm against the devil. He said, well, no. I said, well, Jesus just does that for me all the time. He does. I said, yes, he does. Really? I said, really? And I live by the Mississippi River. Make a long story short, I went up on the levee. It's beautiful. It's like going back in time. It's a plantation home. You get up on the balcony and you got the ships and all going down. And then Kathy's out there drinking her coffee and all that kind of stuff. I went up on that thing. Here's a Chinese man. Now, that's the slowest running jog I ever saw in my life. This fast. I said, it's going to take a long time to get where he's going. This is it. I mean, I could outwalk him. So I'm standing there, and I want to get on the top, and I'm looking at La Maison de Rêve. That's the name of our home, the House of Dreams. See? I mean, and I'm just looking at him. I want to see. I said, look at this thing, And all of a sudden, he stops. He goes, hello. He just stopped. I said, hello. The shoe house? Yes. He says, why do you have it so big? Why is it so big? I said, how big is your house? He says, 4,000 square foot. I said, how come it's so big? He said, that's what I wanted. I said, that's what I wanted. He goes, that's good. That's what he wanted. I ain't mad. And I love when black people come by the house. Because I ain't had one black person criticize that house. White people, I mean, they got the fangs out. So. Black people, Billy Big and Brother Jesse. Oh! Just throw down, Brother Jesse. Throw down. Glory to God. It's so wonderful. I had a black woman. She weighed about 350, 400 pounds. She jumped out of the car. Woo! Brother Jesse. And you know, she's kind of heavy because when she stopped, the body was still kind of moving a little bit. She, she turned around her husband, and you're going to believe for that too. Do you understand me? She chewed him out. I said, you okay, sir? He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm all right. I'm going to do exactly what she says. And she said, I'm going to give God glory. And I said, I agree with you. I believe with you. It was a great day. I never go to Burger King. I'm not a Burger King guy. Nothing wrong with Burger King. You know, I just don't go. But one time I said, people are hungry. I mean, Kathy, I said, let's just stop at the Burger King and get something. She said, well, listen, go inside. So I said, all right. Went in there. A little black boy, 5 years old. He come up to me. You know how children, they get in your face. He goes, you Jesse Duplantis? I said, yes, I am. Is that your house over there? I said, yes. He said, that's a big house. I said, yes, it is. I said, you like it? He said, yes. I'm going to build one just like it. 5 years old. His mother said, boy, get away from the man. You ain't building. You ain't. And I looked at the lady. I said, excuse me, ma'am. I don't mean to correct you. But when I was 5 years old, sleeping on the floor in an 8 foot wide, 32 foot trailer.
Come on.
My brother sleeping on the floor. I sleep on the floor. I don't know where mama got that television. We were watching Gone with the Wind. I don't even know how we got the television. And I saw a Scarlett O'Hara walk up them white steps. And I turned around my mama. I said, mama, I'm going to build a house like the movies. She said, shut up, boy. You're sleeping on the floor. You're a Cajun boy. And I remember it hurt my feelings, but I didn't say nothing about it. And I told her, I said, I was 5 years old. I said, let me tell you, see that boy of yours? He's going to build one bigger than I ever could build. And I looked at him. I said, you do your thing, little man. He went. Remember that little fella, Kathy? He was such a sweetheart. I believe he's going to build the biggest house you ever saw. Now, you know, a five-year-old don't think like that. I couldn't think like that. But God put that in me at 5 years old. Because he knew I'd say thank you. I think sometimes it makes Kathy nervous. Look at her. She goes, shut up, boy. Don't tell him too much. Oh, yeah, I shake up my own family. I said, I don't care. That's scripture. I'm going to say this with the loudest voice of my, because God reprimanded. What's the matter? You embarrassed me? Say, I'll take the persecution of the world to have the love of God in my life. So that I mean, you know, to have the approval of God. I don't care. They can say what they want. I'm going to accept the approval of God. And they can say it all they want. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, I've had to tell them and say, my God, I mean, my Lord, you're not, yeah. Why does he need that? It has nothing to do with need. Didn't need a thing. Need ain't got anything to do with this at all. It's just obedience to God's word. Write this down. We must adopt a more fearless attitude when it comes to voicing thanksgiving. You got to adopt a more fearless attitude when it comes to voicing thanksgiving. So do what the word says instead of worrying about what people might think. You got to have a fearless attitude. It's not bragging. It's not. It's giving God glory. I mean, yesterday somebody blessed me, walked up to me, just shook and had some money in there. I said, thank you. I received that. What a blessing of the Lord. Years ago, I would say, no. And I thought, Lord, I'm sorry. He said, Jesse, I can bless your ministry, but I can't bless you. And you know why I wouldn't let that happen? It wasn't because of pride, because I come out of a work generation. Boy, my daddy, my grandpa said, boy, you get anything in life, you work. You understand me? And boy, when he put us to work, we work for everything we ever got. So automatically when people would do that, I'd say, no, I work. I'll take care of it. Wasn't a pride thing. It's just the way I was taught. And then when the Lord told me, I said, Lord, forgive me of that. He said, would it hurt your feelings if you wanted to bless Kathy? And she'd go, no, I'll work for my own money. And she does. Kathy makes her own money. You know, would you get your feelings hurt if you went to bless Jody? And she'd go, no, Dad, I work for it. I don't want nothing. I said, well, yeah. He said, then why you want to hurt me? I never thought of it. Now, this was years and years ago. See, he had to change because that's not my character. Humor is not my character. See, God was just overhauling me to understand. And I said, Lord, you said 100-fold with persecution. He said, well, they persecuted me. Is that a problem? I said, well, Percy ain't cute. So, no, I guess it is. So it didn't make no difference what anybody says. And I don't mean that rudely. It's just giving God glory. It's okay to brag on God. So do what the word says instead of worrying about what people might think and adopt a more fearless attitude. Why? Bold praise. Say it. Bold praise. Bold praise will encourage others to put aside their shyness about God's blessing in their life. Why? Why? That's all over the body of Christ. Because Satan don't want you talking about how good God is. He don't want you talking about healing. He don't want you talking about salvation. He definitely don't want you talking about blessing. Why? Because the minute you get blessed, it comes out of his account. What? It comes out of his account. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just.
Do you understand that? The minute you get blessed, you know where it came from? God sucked it out of his account. He don't know how God got in there. God put a virus in there and sucked it out of his account and put it in yours. Do you understand that? Because he thinks he owns this planet. He don't own this planet. This planet belongs to us. The heavens, even the heavens of the Lord, Psalms 115, verse 16. But the earth, that's the planet, hath he given to the children of men, Lord. That's us. Satan don't want you talking about that. So he makes it come up like, hey, you shouldn't talk about finances because, you know, it's not right. Yes, it is right. You want me to prove it's right? Revelation. The whole book is about gold, streets, diamond, it's whole chapters. Diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, ruby, gates of pearl. This is God talking. So you think he's wrong? Think about that. The Bible said Jesus became poor that you might become
rich.
Boy, that's a four-letter word. You don't have a problem saying other four-letter words. People don't think twice. They F-bomb you right in front of children. They don't care. I don't mind using the word rich in front of everybody. If you can F-bomb me, if you can say all Satan's words, I got some vocabulary that'll knock your socks off. And a lot of it's in tongues. I just pray in tongues. I just slam. I like what Terry Pearson said. Her grandmother used to say, hit it with tongues. Hit it with tongues. You just hit it with tongues. Bold praise encourages others to put aside their shyness about God's blessing. See, giving God glory as you visualize his goodness brings every need and desire of your heart to pass. You know why there have been a lot of people struggling financially in the ministry? Because they won't believe what I'm saying. They think they might get hurt if they say something. Now, Mark's been on my board at the Red Mark. Stick your hand up so everybody knows. That's him and his wife, wonderful people who live in San Antonio. We just love Mark. We just love him. Can I say what your children did? Is that, I don't know if I've ever said it here. Mark invited me to eat in his house. Now, I very seldom eat in people's homes. Because, you see, I'm a Cajun boy. We know how to cook. And they want to make gumbo for me. No, you don't. No, you don't. What is the specialty in your area? Mexican food. We'll take that. Because some people, you know, they make gumbo, and I want to tell you, it'll kill you. They have no idea what a gumbo is. Cajun people know what they're talking about or not. Mark, say anybody, we had Mexican. I think you asked me what I wanted to eat. I tell you what, I like that papasitas, and Lord, I can drink that salsa. John Hay says, how can you eat that salsa like soup? I said, like this. I just drink it. I just love it. Well, they were so wonderful to invite us. Now, he's got a wonderful family. Okay? I mean, he got some of the finest, smartest, brightest kids. I'm not just saying that, but it's just a fact. So I don't know this is going to happen. But see, Mark is not only in aviation, and he owns the FBO there in San Antonio, but, you know, he, his father, they're givers to God, they're blessings of the Lord, they're just wonderful people. Make a long story short, we fly in, man, and, man, I'm going, I know I'm going to get me some good Mexican food, Lord Jesus. So I walk in there, but see, he had read a scripture, and the Lord spoke to him. Am I correct? I don't want to add anything. That he was meant to seed to the sower. So he decided to give some seed to the sower, to his children. To bless me and bless my ministry. Now watch this. I don't know this is going to happen. I'd heard, he told me, he said, Brother Jesse, we got something for you here at the house. You know what I'm thinking? Enchiladas. Tacos. Hot sauce. Cholesterol. Who wants something healthy? You done lost your mind? Jesus. You know, so you die looking good? You're still going to rot. Anyway, and I'm not telling you to go out and do that. I get there, and here comes one of what's his name, Michael? Yeah, he goes, Brother Jesse, I want to sow this into your ministry. Gives me a check. How old was Michael then?
Eight.
It's $2,000. I go, I ain't never had eight. You won't give me $2,000. He goes, I'll put this in your ministry. And I got some more change through to me. Just get for me. He's dropping his change in my hand. I thought, man, he said, I'm giving to you. I sow in the seed. We sowers. How many children you have? Five. Each one of them gave me $2,000. That's $10,000. Well, they come from his daddy. Well, No. God moved on his daddy to make his children sowers and ministered seed to the sower. I've never had that. And you should have seen them. It wasn't just like this. Mama said and daddy said to give you this. Which most kids, nothing wrong with that. His children were into this thing. I mean, they were into it. You understand what I'm saying? I honestly believe all five of your kids are going to become so financially blessed as they grow. Good Lord, man. He's already sowed that harvest that's coming up even as I'm speaking. And if Jesus tarries and Mark gets to be 89, 90, 100 years old, his kids will be so blessed and his children's children. The Bible, you're seeding, you know, your children, your children's children. Isn't that a blessing? Man, I walked out of there with some of the best Mexican food and $10,000 and about $2 and $3 in change. Gave it to God's work. Wasn't that a blessing? Now, can you imagine? That's in his children for the rest of their lives. And they talk about it. I said, man, I told Mark, if you don't mind, I got to tell everybody this. Because I'm giving God glory. God, so you know why God picked Abraham? You know why? You know, he wasn't a Jew. He became a Jew. Because the Bible said he will teach his children. Go read it. I believe it's Genesis 18, I think. He will teach his children. Well, I taught Jody, and Jody's teaching Meredith, and we are. Why? Because, see, God, giving God glory as you visualize his goodness, brings every need and desire of your heart to pass. Now I'm at the point in my life that, without sounding prideful, I got to watch what I say, because I get it. And I close with this. I have a beautiful aircraft. You ought to see it. It's gorgeous. People love it. Am I right, Mark? Mark, I've flown in there, man. Can I say what you've done for me? And every time I go to San Antonio, and I don't stop there just to do it. I said, Mark, he gives me jet fuel. Jet fuel's expensive. I said, no, Mark. He just looks at me like with him eyes. You done lost your white-headed mind, boy? I'm sowing seed. I might come back maybe a month or two later. And he said, boy, my gallons went up so high because I'm not asking for that. I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm just preaching, giving God glory. It didn't only increase on me. Well, he has a plane. He decided to come to New Orleans because they like to eat, you know. He don't know. I got a fuel phone too. So he flies in there and he said, okay, I'm going to go over to Atlantic. I said, no. I said, fill up his plane, whatever he wants. And I believe I'm the first person that ever gave you fuel. The only one ever. And I said, and how many people have you blessed in the ministry at your FBO? And I said, you can't come to New Orleans. When you leave, I'm going to give you some fuel. There's never been anyone that's had an aircraft, a minister of any kind, that's come to my ministry in any way, shape, just to visit, that I did not bless them. Oh, Brother Copeland did that for you too? So me and Kenneth Copeland. Yeah. Isn't that a blessing? So you know God will put us together as a team because we think alike. We're looking to be a blessing to someone. Just that's all we want to do. I mean, that's it. Now, people say, well, why are you saying that? Y'all just give to each other. Well, what's wrong with that? I mean, what's wrong with that? But you have no idea what we do. I just paid a person's house off at $750,000. Now, I'm giving God glory. Why? Because I could do it. I didn't even have to blink. I just went, okay. The Lord said, do that. I said, sure. Now, when you say that, I know I'm going to have letters Monday. But Jesse, would you pay off my house? Let me help you. No. Why? Because you made me your source. You better make God start bragging on God and what God's done. And God will show up and pay your mortgage off. If you just bless him and let people know about it. And it's not bragging on any way, shape, or form. It's okay to brag on God. You're not doing this for yourself. So it was such a blessing. And I got such blessing out of giving Mark Fessler some fuel. Why not? It was just such a blessing. It was just wonderful. And I've had some come and they say, Brother Jesse, we'll purchase this fuel. No, I'll be a blessing to you. I'm not bragging. I'm giving God glory. I said, Lord, he said, Jesse, I appreciate you doing that. One time I told Brother Copeland Noel on something. Listen to this, Bill. Kenneth will give you this kind of like this. His hand kind of moved a little bit. trying to take my seed away from me? No. I realize that. I said, but Brother Cole, if you don't mind, you have been such a blessing to me. And one time his plane shut down and I shouted. I said, Brother Coleman, I'll send my plane. I'll pick you up. And I'll just take you home. I said, in fact, I flew with him. Just, would you like some tea? It was a great day. It was the most wonderful thing. I mean, a man had been a blessing to me so many times. I get a chance. And I'm not saying God broke his plane so I could do that. But maybe he did. I don't know. No, I don't think he did. No, he don't do that. But it was such a blessing that I could do. How many of y'all want to do things like that? Don't you? Yeah, you do. Let me tell you how you do those things. I don't care if it's 2 cents. You tell somebody, God gave me 2 cents. Somebody shout for me, God blessed me today. You publish it with a loud voice, not a whisper. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just such a blessing. And we don't even have to know you. It's nice to know you. I don't know how many people have bought their meals and didn't even know who they were. I had no concept. I just looked and the Lord said, bless that person. Sure, Lord. You know how many people tried to buy my lunch today? How many? Five? No, she bought the lunch. I said, listen, I'll give you some money. I got my own money, Jesse. Okay, all right. I mean, I couldn't get out of the restaurant. People trying to buy. And one person said, did you pay for the meal already? Well, yeah. Well, Kathy did, actually. And we saw a very young, is Preston in here? I don't know. No, they're going with Jerry. Make a long story, that was Jerry's grandson. We saw him and his girlfriend. I said, what y'all doing? Oh, nothing. I said, you hungry? Well, yeah. I said, you want to eat lunch with us? Oh, really? Would you let us do that? Well, yeah. Yeah, why not? Come on. And we had a wonderful time with Preston Jerry and his beautiful girlfriend. I said, you got good taste. He said, yes. And we got to eat lunch. It was a blessing. But I couldn't hardly get out the hotel, the little restaurant. So many people went. I thought, God, that's just such a blessing. I said, why you do that? He said, because you've been good to me, Jesse. And you will not. You will publish my blessing, so I will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm believing God for that Falcon 7X. I done told New Orleans Armstrong International Airport, and they freaking out, you know, because I got my own hanging, and but you know, because of security, you got to have badges, and you know, you just don't go. And I said, I done told them. I said, look, when that 7X come in, I said, I'm going to put that baby on, I'm gonna put that on the tarmac. And if y'all don't mind, y'all can have all your security stuff. But I want people to just come look at it, touch it. And when I get to Sacramento, you're going in that thing, Bill. You just got to get in that. I mean, you just got to do it. It's just part of it. Not to bragging on God. I don't even know how to fly the plane. Even Brother Copeland's tried to get me to fly. Jesse, don't you want to learn how to fly? I said, no, I want to learn how to land. That's what I'm interested in. I ain't ready to fly. I mean, I guess it's good. I mean, I know he loves it. And Jerry, all of them love it. I'm not interested in that. But I'd like to be able to know how to land it, just in case them boys pass out. Exactly. And then, you know, hey, excuse me. You know. So it's been nothing but just a blessing to brag on God. And now the tables have turned. I never thought the Lord would ever say that. Now God's bragging on me. I have become a Job named Jesse. Have you observed my servant Jesse? The boy bless any? Ooh, Jesus. And I'm talking heathen say, I tell you what, that preacher, everything he touched just prospers. I said, thank you, Lord. He said, I told him that. Now, it didn't go to my head because I can't do any of this, but I can do all things through Christ. Do you understand? So there's no way you can get, well, I don't know if y'all have this in Texas or whatever. We call it the big head. You know, you can't get the big head on something like that. It's just the Lord doing that. So now he's bragging on me. And God protects me from government things. A lot of people get nailed to the wall. I'll just say, Benny Hinn said, Jesse, you know how to talk to the media. Well, I'm a media person. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm giving God glory. I said, Lord, what you want me to say? I'll say one more thing close. When I wrote this book, I was signed with Simon & Schuster out of New York when we did the Everyday Visionary. So watch this. Simon & Schuster gave me a big front up money and all that kind of, I mean, it was nice. And they said, boy, you know, people buy your books and all that kind of stuff, you know. And we had the biggest book sales ever at a bookstore in the city of New Orleans. You know, because they wanted me to sign and all that kind of stuff. Well, not brag, giving God glory. So watch that. They said, you're going to be in California, aren't you? They looked at my schedule. Long Beach, California. Where, brother, where we did the last West Coast Believers Community. Was that Long Beach? I think so. Thanks. Anyway, to make a long story short, they said there's a big bookstore down there. And would you mind doing an interview? And then you can go to the bookstore and sign books. I said, okay, yeah, I believe I can do that. So they were excited that I'd do that. So I'm going to be on this major radio station in California. And we're going to talk about the book, you know, like they do at Fox or they do at CNN. You know, people do that. I thought, well, you know, and they wanted me because you don't get no royalties till you finish up the front money. That's how that stuff works. Anyway, so I said, okay. I never thought nothing about it. So I get on the phone. I'm doing the interview. We said, ladies and gentlemen, we have with us here Reverend Jesse Duplantis. He'll be preaching with Reverend Kenneth Copeland there and Jerry Savelle and Gloria Copeland and Creflo Dollar. That's before Bill and Keith were preaching with on the team and he named the place at the West Coast Believers Convention. I thought that was nice. He says, now, I want to ask you a question, Reverend Duplantis. So I'm thinking, we're going to the Everyday Visionary, the book. What is your view on homosexuality? I said, excuse me? I wanted to say, I don't think I had that in the book. What chapter is that? What is your view on sexuality? Because this is one of the biggest areas of homosexuality. And I said, I don't have a view on homosexuality. I just believe what God said. It had nothing to do with my view. Well, I heard you hate homosexuals. Uh-uh. I said, no, you said that. I didn't say that. Well, I was born that way. I said, no, you wasn't. Yes, I was. I said, no, you wasn't. I said, you were born and created in the image of God. Okay. I said, I'll grant you this. You may not know when you became a homosexual or how you became a homosexual, but you weren't born a homosexual. It's not in your genes.
That's right.
He just looked at me. Well, he's coming. And I'm a little irritated at Simon & Schuster. They didn't throw me in there. And I thought, what are you doing? So he said, and everything he said, I said, no, you said that. I didn't say that. I said, let me tell you something, sir. I'm the first person that's ever been honest with you. I said, let me tell you something what I think of. I said, I know some homosexuals. Some of them are the most talented people I've ever seen in my life. Well, he got quiet. He just looked at me. What? I said, some of the most talented people I've ever seen. I mean, they can do the most amazing things. I said, listen, I'm not against anybody. If God wouldn't have said anything about this, I don't care who you sleep with. It ain't none of my business what you do. I said, but God said it, and I want to tell you something. Listen to me. He ain't mad that you need it. I'm just trying to save your life. Are you thinking about your life here? I'm trying to help you for eternity. I don't doubt you're a nice man. Yes, I am a nice man. I said, I know you are. That's not the issue. I said, I'm trying to, where you can live for eternity, where you can be blessed beyond God. All I want to do is be a blessing to you. Tears start coming in there. I said, I got him. I got him. I got him. And you know, I said, listen, I'm not against you, man. I'm not going to fight you in any way, shape, or form. I said, but listen, I'm the only one honest with you. I'm trying to help you. I don't look down on you. I said, heterosexual sin is just as bad as homosexual sin or any other kind of sin. I said, I don't even call it homosexual sin or heterosexual sin. I just call it sin. It's sin. It's just it. I mean, I don't try to. I said, listen, man, I don't doubt you. You probably can do wonderful things for God in heaven. You probably have every talented man. It turned the whole thing around. He said, well, I appreciate you saying that. I said, well, I mean that. I said, I'm serious. I said, I'm not against you. I just want you to go to heaven. Amen. I just want you to be saved. God said, this is a sin-sick, terrible life stuff, man. You know it and I know it. I said, I'm just trying to make it easier for you. I said, there's some heterosexuals probably worse than you are. How come, my God, if a murderer gets saved, you shout about all that? Glory to God, the man murdered his money, got born again to save. But boy, if he'd been a homosexual in his life and he shot me good, we gotta have to watch that boy. We're gonna have to watch that girl. Well, you didn't say that about the murderer. How come you can forgive a murderer, you can't forgive a divorcee?
is me. So what I do, I'm just going to preach what's right. And if I preach enough right, it'll get rid of the wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then he asked me this crazy question. He said, you think you could ever be a homosexual? I said, that could never happen. I said, if I was stranded on an island with a man, I don't care if he looked like Hercules. It ain't gonna happen. Now, I have seen some guys that I wish I was built like they were. You go to Venice, California, they got guys in a Muscle Beach, California. I call it Muscle Beach, California. I think it's in Venice, California. And you ask those guys, they're working out. They say, where's the bathroom? They go, that way. That way. I mean, I wish I had that. And when I was young, I did. I got the pictures to prove it. I was a chiseled piece of man candy. Ask Kathy. She said, he's a legend in his own mind. Got her. I got her at a swimming pool. Boy, I had muscles, man. Look, you see that? I had them. This ain't fat under this shirt, son. I've been bulking up, son. I'm bulking up. I said, Kathy, what do you think? She said, put your shirt on. I said, all right. Yeah. Well, it don't work. It don't work no more. But boy, when I was young, whoo, Lord. Standing out there. And boy, I mean, and my muscles used to do this under my skin. And girls are just. She didn't care about that at all. And she just blew me out the water last night. Man, I looked at my arm. I said, Kathy, look at my, that's the first time in my life I ever seen a little wrinkle on my skin. She said, oh, I've been seeing that for a long time. Well, I was chiseled piece of man candy. Now I'm just slow taffy. Just melted taffy. Lord Jesus. So you're going to hear it when my Falcon 7X come in. I'm going to shout and publish that all over the world and give God glory. I'm going to do it. I've had people buy me lottery tickets, and if I'd have won, you know what I said? People say, that's a sin. That's the cheapest sin I ever seen, $2. That's a cheap sin. My mom said, if I did that for me, I would shout. I know they didn't want me on the Today Show. Let me tell you what the Lord did. Oh, that's a sin. Then why would you take the money? There you go. You see, you can tell when it hits. But I'm not here to push it. You know, I'm not talking about going to the lottery and all that. What I'm saying is, I'm going to give God glory from any blessing put in my hand, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. I'm going to brag on my Lord Jesus Christ every day of my life, because he told me, you never be embarrassed about what I've done for you. And the other day I was on the top balcony of my home, and this person stopped and went, Brother Jesse! And I looked and I didn't know who he was. I said, hello, how does it feel? How does it feel to live in a place like that? I said, it's great. It's wonderful. Have a good time. Oh, I will. And Kathy spoiled me all my life. She has. Because I traveled so much, and when I'd come in, boy, I mean, they put the party on and all that kind of stuff. But it's quit. And I'm so used to it. I may have seen that, and there may be a glass. I said, Kathy, get that water for me. Bring it over here. Your leg broke? I believe in miracle healing. I pray for your leg. I said, well, you used to do that. That's your fault that I'm spoiled. Well, that didn't work too well. Let me go over here. That would work too well. She does. She does spoil me. I mean, and my daughter spoiled me. My granddaughter. I am. And it's a good spoil. Because sometimes I get up and I say, today is a blessing day for everybody. Jody says, oh, Lord, let's go with him. And boy, I mean, I just have myself more fun. Because it is more blessed to give. I love that more than anything I've ever done in my life. I just enjoy that so much. I said, why, Lord? He said, it's my nature. I get such a warmness in my life.
when I'm able to be a blessing. But I don't let people take advantage of that. And when I see them looking at me as I'm their source, no, no. And ain't no telling what I'm liable to do, because God has placed it in my hand. This is my last closing. I thought years ago, if I could make $100 million, that's a big figure. Lord, if you let me make $100 million liquid dollars, I can touch the world. It's not true. I've made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not enough. Satan is very expensive. And he's holding people in bondage. You got to remember, you his slave. He has a master mentality. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's a master. He's that. He's not a father. Anyway, he's a master. Everyone is in slavery to him, in bondage to him. And he's controlling this. He controls it all through economy. And that's why the prosperity message is fought so hard. Because we break that power, he's finished. You can knock him out with healing in the name of Jesus. You can knock him out with salvation. Where you're struggling is in your money. And that's why he got people like Brother Cope, myself, and Jerry, and Bill Winston, and Creflo, and my God, Keith Moore, and Terry, and people that just believe, not so we can get stuff. He ain't got anything to do with stuff. It's to break his power. Once you break that power, because he controls the world through economy, you want to shut a nation down? Sanctions. And if everybody obey, they'll come in the line, or they'll starve to death. We break that power. He's finished. And he knows that. So that's why he makes you feel funny if you talk about the blessing of God financially. Because he don't want nobody knowing just how good God is. But I'm going to be like David. I'm going to be his two. I'm going to publish the and speak of the wondrous works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you enjoy it today? Come on, stand up and give him a great standing ovation. Come on, give him one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Isn't that good?